Father, I thank you as always in the name of Jesus for the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. I command the clouds to move and let the light shine in our hearts this morning. Let it shine upon our ways, brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So, let's do this morning. Let's get right to the word of God. Shape your life and future with God's word. Now, we are not going to leave anything to chance this morning. You know, there is a song that I heard first when I was a young man. And then later in life, I didn't like the song at all once I started to understand. And he said, Ko sera sera. You know, whatever will be. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I used to sing the song before I had understanding. You know, so, but after I got understanding, it's like, no. Whatever will not be, unless it will be, you know, for my good. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to sit back and just let whatever will be. What does that even mean? Praise God. Hallelujah. So God declares the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Now, he is the one and only one that knows the end from the beginning. We don't know that, but we know his word. Glory to God. Now, God has foreknowledge of all things. I don't, but I have faith. So, by my faith in his word, I can approximate his foreknowledge. That's right. That's a punchline this morning. Now, even though I don't know what he knows, but I know his word, and I can use his word to shape my future. And it's almost like what I'm saying is what's going to come to pass. It's almost like I know it because I'm now using his word to shape my future and to shape my life. Glory to God. So he has foreknowledge. I don't. But I have faith. Glory to God. You know, thank you, Jesus. So, and, you know, God doesn't need faith because he knows everything. And he already knows how everything is going to play out. But we need faith. You know, and the way that God sees things is like, you know, if you have seen your favorite movie 100 times and you know play by play, you know, scene by scene, word by word, what each person is going to say, what they are going to do, and all of that. You know, then if you invite your friend to watch with you, you can almost say, here's what they're going to say. Here's what they're going to do. And all of that. Because you've seen it so many times, you know it. Now, God doesn't need to see it so many times because he has perfect knowledge. Hallelujah. Now, if you have perfect knowledge, or what some people used to call, you know, photographic memory, it's not even photographic memory. It's not even as good as God's perfect knowledge. But if you had that, you only need to see the thing once. And then you'll never, you know, have to see it again in order to remember it. You see it once, you remember it. You know, so that's the way it is with God. He foresees all things. So he knows all things. Now, we don't have that power, unfortunately. Sometimes God, in his mercy and his kindness, he will reveal to us a glimpse. Now, that's only a glimpse of the future because we see through a glass darkly. We can't see everything like God sees. In fact, our mind cannot, you know, you can't handle it right now. So he'll only give us a portion. And actually, he's not even obligated to share it with us. But if he does, well, praise the Lord. You know, but one thing we already have that he has given us, well, actually two things. He has given us the Spirit of God. And he has also given us the Word of God. So with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we have illumination. We also have power that we can pull out treasures, you know, and we can actually shape things and not leave things to chance. So that's the introduction of what we are going to be doing here this morning. But let's take a look at some scriptures and how, you know, God does things and how God speaks things in advance. Well, now that we are trying to become more like God, remember the sons of God are now emerging. Well, this is one of the attributes that we have to learn. Glory to God. Got to learn this to do it like God does. Isaiah 48 and verse 3 says, you know, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and, you know, they went forth out of my mouth. I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Well, he just declared it, and they came to pass. Glory to God. I have even from the beginning declared it. That's verse 5 of the same Isaiah 48. Before it came to pass, I showed it to you. Now, sometimes the Lord will do that so that we won't say, you know, we did it by ourselves. You know, hallelujah, or by some other graven image or some other person. But the Lord is the one that can do these things. And he can bring even new things. He said, you know, have you seen all this? Can you not declare it? Hallelujah. In verse 6, I have showed thee things from this time, even hidden things that you didn't know. Hallelujah. Now, he said they are created now and not from the beginning. Now, listen to that. You know, it's not, they are created now. That means God can actually create new things. My father worketh until now. God can create new things. Not just, oh, he created something, all these things, and then he stopped. For you, he can create new things. Glory to God. You know, it's amazing when we understand this. He can create things now and not even from the beginning. Hallelujah. And even before the day when you heard them, you know, God can bring that forth. Hallelujah. So, even though he's challenging them and chastising them here, but we understand some things by this word. There are many things that we understand from the word of God. Even when God is chastising or challenging people, we can understand some things that we actually can do. An example is Job. In Job chapter 38, we see that God was talking to Job and God was talking to Job and challenging him. He said, well, who is this that darkeneth, you know, knowledge by no understanding and so on. So let's look at some of the things that God challenged Job with in Job 38. And let's see if we can glean some understanding and some power from these things. You know, you can read the whole of Job 38, but we don't have time to read all of that this morning. So we're just going to pick a few verses. So let's start at Job chapter 38 and verse 12. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that he may take hold on the ends of the earth, and so forth, shake the wicked out of it, you know, and all that. Can you command the morning? Why, absolutely. You know, Psalm 110 verse 3, which we have stated many times in this room, gives us also a clue about that. Especially, you know, in the goings forth of the morning, such as this. And what does this mean for us to command the morning? What does it mean? What does the womb of the morning mean? How do we get understanding on what power lies in what we can say? Glory to God. Thy people, Psalm 110, shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, in the womb of the morning. Glory to God. You can command. God said to Job, can you do it? Well, maybe he couldn't. But by God asking Job those things, we actually understand that those things are possible. It's like God asked Job in the same place. He said, look, canst thou, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion upon the earth? Why, absolutely. If you understand it, you can do it. We probably didn't know these things before, but when God began to ask Job, canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades, the constellations that are out there? You know, can you loose the bands of Orion? You know, Job 38 and verse 31. Can you bring forth Mazaroth in seasons? Can you guide Arcturus with his songs? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion upon the earth? So by God asking Job these questions, we actually understand that if you know the ordinances of heaven, and if you can somehow, you know, understand how God operates or how the things of the Spirit operates, knowing that things happen first in the Spirit, that's in the heavens, before they influence the earth. You know, so if we understand all of that, my goodness, and knowing, as we read in Ephesians already, that we are seated in Christ, in heavenly places. So we're actually there already. And if we know how to use God's word, we can actually shape the things that will happen in the earth. Now, we are dual, you know, we talk about dual citizenship, but let me also talk about a dual realm individual. We are in dual realms at the same time. We are in the spiritual realm, but we are also in this earthly realm. When you know how to bring it all together, people can, you know, literally speaking, and this is, I'm not saying this figuratively, literally speaking, you can actually phase between the two realms. Glory to God. That's why John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Well, he phased into that realm. Glory to God. When he phased into that realm, and then all of a sudden he began to see what was going on in heaven. I mean, he was saying, wow, you know. And so, you know, we can, if God were to open our eyes to see certain things in the realm of the heaven, then we know, I mean, God can show it to you in advance. And you can see it ahead of time. And then when you see it ahead of time, you now use God's word to make sure it actually happens. You know, and so forth. And there are two parts to that. One part is contending for that through prayer. Another part is using his word to bring it to pass. Now, I want to focus on using his word to bring it to pass. Even things that were not going to be. Because God said they are created now. It's new things. You know, when the heavens are black, where there seem to be no way out, if we understand how to command the womb of the morning when we wake up in the morning, we can actually speak to the day. Did you know that Jesus said the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath and not the other way around? And that the day was created for us and we were not created for the day. Now that means that, look, this day must be subject. Wake up in the morning. Can't let the day, don't leave the day to chance and let the day just do whatever it wants. That day must be subject to us. So, having said all of that, let me read some scriptures to help us gain this understanding. Hallelujah. We gain this understanding and we use it. Now, head knowledge alone is no good. We must actually put these things into practice. Hallelujah. And begin to see how they work for us. Now let's see some of the things that God has spoken here how we use the word of God. Now, remember, we are not to leave anything to chance. Don't leave it to chance. Glory to God. Psalms 119. One time, I challenged people in this room to read the whole of that psalm, and I think I did. And if you haven't done so, I challenge us, I encourage us to read and study the whole of that psalm, Psalm 119. The longest psalm, 160-something verses. And it has, you know, a lot of gems around the word of God. So powerful like that. Here's one that we often quote in verse 89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Well, okay. So remember, we're talking about the two realms. You know, just like the heavens of heavens belong to him, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. You know, we've seen that in Psalm 115:5. We could be reading it shortly. But here we say the word of God is already settled in heaven. Well, but God was asking Job, well, do you understand the things that are settled in heaven? Can you then set their dominion upon the earth? Hallelujah. So if the word of God is already settled in heaven, and you understand how to use that word, you can actually use that word to frame your life, your day, your future. Glory to God. So that's what we are going to do this morning. This same Psalm 119 verse 105 is another famous one we quote all the time. You know, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So where I'm standing right now, I'm not standing in darkness because there's light around my feet. And then the light of the word of God is shining in the path ahead of me more and more into a perfect day. So you can actually direct that light. Glory to God. It's like when you have a searchlight or beam light or a flashlight. I mean, some of them can be really powerful. That's like a beam. You can point that beam in the direction, especially in the dark or in the night, and it can light up. And even they put those into cars these days. They put this, you know, halogen beams. They put all these great beams into this light. They can really pierce into, and some of these cars that are made these days with the newer technology, you know, they have the ability for the light to adjust itself. You know, it can automatically even adjust itself. You know, when you are, you know, when there is nothing ahead of you, it will beam the light higher. When there is, you see some other lights coming in front of you because of cameras and stuff, it will lower the light. And then when you are, you know, in a dark place, to shine the light. I mean, they built all this technology. You can see ahead. So you can see ahead. Well, we can see ahead by the word of God. Even if you don't see, you can make ahead, make things ahead line up by the word of God. So that's what we are going to do this morning. In the book of Ezekiel, an amazing story here in chapter 37. And the Lord showed him this valley of dry bones. He said, look, can these bones live again? Well, the bones were already dead. We don't know how long they've been. Very, very dry, we are told. They've been there for a long time, possibly. But now, the Lord asked him a question. Can you do it? Can these bones come to life again? And the man was actually smart. You know, he said, well, I don't know, but thou knowest. That's a good answer. So here's what the Lord is going to tell him to do. Lord's going to give it to him in phases. One, Ezekiel 37 and verse 4. The Lord said to him, prophesy upon these bones. Now that's upon. Prophesy upon these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. you know. And then the Lord says, thus saith the Lord unto these bones. He's telling Ezekiel what to say. Now Ezekiel now is going to represent. Anytime a man is speaking and saying, thus saith the Lord, or even an angel, and say, you know, speaking. Sometimes these angels will come and they will speak almost as if they were God. They will speak the word of God as if they were the Lord. You know, and now when we are speaking, when you say, thus saith the Lord, you're speaking like as though you were the Lord. So Ezekiel is standing here to speak, represent God. You know, now, why did God not just speak to the bones himself? You know, that's a question we have to ask ourselves today. Why? God can speak to the bones himself. Why engage Ezekiel in this drama? Just speak to the bones yourself. Well, many of the things that God wants to do in the realm of the earth, remember, two realms, he needs and wants to engage us to do these things. And there are many things that he can do by himself, but he engages us to do that and teaches us how to represent. So he's teaching Ezekiel here how to represent. Now Ezekiel can now say the word that God already said to him to say. So now you can say to the bones, O ye dry bones, so on and so forth, whatever the Lord said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel can now say, upon the bones, I will lay sinews. Now, God always says what he's going to do ahead of time. He'll say it first, you know, and then he will do it. Hallelujah. So he said, you know, all these things. So, you know, the Lord told him what he's going to do. I'm going to cover you with skin. I'm going to put breath on you. You shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord and so on and so forth. You know, and so in verse 7, I, Ezekiel, prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, see, now it's not your word. Don't worry about it. It's God's word. Use the word to shape the things the way that you want them to be. Now, God doesn't want any dead bones in your life. Do you want any dead bones in your life? Absolutely not. So you speak the word of God, you know, as though you were God. Because that's what it means for us to represent. We covered representation yesterday. And then, as I prophesied, behold, there was a noise and a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. I mean, that would have been a sight to see that. I mean, see how those bones will shake. Dry bones that be in the valley, only God knows how long. And the sinews, the flesh begin to come upon them and so forth. The skin begin to cover them. And my goodness. I mean, wow. And they begin to form into something. You know, and the right bones came with correct bones. You know, it wasn't the bone of somebody else. You know, all of them came together and so forth. But when they came and were done, there still was no breath in them. So the Lord said unto him again, prophesy unto the wind. Now, first prophesy upon the bones. Now prophesy unto the wind. So now he prophesied unto the wind. Say, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. And as I prophesied, the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. The Lord said to him, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. You know, because they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts and the Lord has forsaken us and all of these things and so forth. You know, and the Lord said, no, I will now open your graves. Cause you to come out of your graves, bring you out into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord, and so on and so forth. And I put my spirit on you, you shall live, and even in your own land, you shall know it. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And God likes to tell us the things that he's going to do ahead of time. For instance, he would tell them, tomorrow, he told Jehoshaphat, through the voice of the young prophet in the midst, Jehaziel. He said, tomorrow, you guys go down to the valley of such and such a place and meet them there, and the Lord will fight for you. Well, why tomorrow? Why not today? God will have to put it out there, give you a chance to think about it. It also gives you a chance, if you are not careful, the word of God will be tried. You know, that the moment it will test it and so on. And you will doubt the word and all that. One time, the Lord told Peter, you know, when he asked about taxes, he said, well, okay, go to this lake or river or whatever it was and go get the first fish that you catch. The coin will be in his mouth. Bring it and pay for you and me. Why? You know, it's going to take Peter time to do all of that. In the moment, in that all that time, the word of the Lord will be tried. He has to go get his fishing gear. He has to go, because he wasn't carrying his fishing gear all around him. He has to go to the lake or river or whatever. He has to cast the thing into, and he has to believe that the fish, the first one that's coming, will have the coin. You know, so the whole time while you're waiting for the word that the master already spoke, you have opportunity to doubt it. But you also have opportunity to worship. Hallelujah. Jehoshaphat chose to worship. When he heard the voice and the word of promise that the Lord is going to fight for them and that they would not need to fight, he worshiped. And not only that, he said, well, I'm going to actually praise the Lord in the face of the battle. So that's another way of doing it. We covered that when we did the principles of the oracles of God. But getting back to this, to see how somebody, don't leave anything to chance. Don't leave it to chance to say, well, whether these bones will live again. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Prophesy upon the bones. Glory to God. You know, and if you prophesy and the bones come up and they look like they're halfway there and they are not quite there, prophesy to something else to bring life into the bones. I mean, Jesus demonstrated this for us in the Bible at least twice. You know, one time he put clay on some on man's eyes and said, what do you see? You know, the man said, well, you know, I don't know. It looks like I've seen man, like trees upside down or whatever. And then Jesus touched his eyes again the second time. Likewise also, when he called Lazarus out of the grave, called him out of the grave, and he was still bound with grave clothes. And then Jesus said, set him loose. Get all those things out of him. You know, so sometimes, you know, you prophesy upon the bones, and something happens, a shaking, and a this and that, but it's not quite there. Then you profess, then you get some assistance. Hallelujah. You get some assistance from the heavenly wings. Glory to God. You know, now, remember, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You have, if you understand the power, now you get the assistance from the winds. Now, come on, winds from the east, west, wherever. Blow upon these bones that they may live. Hallelujah. You know, so, now that's how you do it. Now let's look at, you know, some people that understood, you know, how to do these things in the word of God. You know, the David also, he said, you know, many things, not only in Psalms 119 that we read, there's other places where he gave us some additional insight into things like this. I mean, if we read, you know, let's take a look at Psalm, you know, Psalm 118. We're going to read two verses there that will give us, you know, understanding of how we should command our day and not leave it to chance. He said, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Of course, before that, he was talking about the stone which the builders rejected. But now he goes on to say, this is the day which the Lord has made. Well, we sing that song all the time. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you don't say that at the end of the day. If the day is already passed, you say, we will rejoice and be glad in you. What? There's no sense in that, because the day is already gone. You say it at the beginning of the day. Now, this is the day which the Lord has made. I want the elements and everything else to line up so that I'll be rejoicing and be glad throughout this day. Glory to God. I'm going to command, you know, the womb means, you know, because women, they know more about this than men. That's where they carry the baby. It's pregnant. The womb of the morning. The morning is pregnant. What is it going to birth? What is that day going to birth for you? Don't leave it to chance. Glory to God. You know, command it, because the day was created for us. We were not created for the day. There are many people in the Bible that use their word even for your children. Don't leave it to chance. Speak the word. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Especially fathers. Mothers can do it too. Now, if you are, you know, if you are a single parent and you are a mom, you can do it too. You know, but generally, God had put it in the hands of the fathers to bless their children. We see it throughout the scriptures. At the book of Genesis chapter 49, the whole chapter, I'm not going to read it here because it's long, how Jacob worshipped, leaning upon his staff, we're told in Hebrews 11, say by faith, Jacob worshipped, leaning upon his staff and blessed all his children. He spoke it by faith, but whatever it was, I mean, he blessed, he called them out what they were going to be. He spoke to their future. And everything he spoke to each one of those children, which we now call the 12 tribes, that's exactly how they turned out. Well, you know, if he put a blessing on them, they were blessed. If he chastised them or put, you know, not so much of a blessing, I don't even want to call it a curse, which parents should never do. Even Noah, we saw that when he was angry, put a curse, which he should never have done, on one or more of his sons because of what they did when they saw him in his nakedness. Now, you know, so what should we be saying to our children? Knowing that the Lord has given us the power to bless them. Now, if a man, you know, a family has a young child, or even from the womb, what should you be saying to the child? How should you be shaping their life, even from the time that they are conceived? Even the name that is given to the child. Now, there are some cultures where names mean a lot, like the culture where I come from, the Jewish culture also. Names were given around circumstances, or, you know, based on circumstances that are around the event, or a prophetic outlook into the life of the child, or some significance of the thing, you know, that they are trying to say about their life, and they name their child. They don't just give a child some random name. Well, in some Western cultures, you know, they just give the child random names, have no meaning. No, we don't do that. In our culture, you give a name, and you be careful now what name you give to your child, because you give a name prophetically to that child, and it will walk with them, or might walk against them if you give them a negative name. You know, that the name is so important. It's a prophetic declaration upon that child before they are even born. People don't realize that. And if you are a believer, and now a son of God, and you're having children, don't leave it to chance. Glory to God. You shape their future even from the womb with the word of God. Speak. Hallelujah. He said, he shall be great. And he shall, you know, have the spirit of God from them. I mean, they spoke the word of God, you know, into the lives of people. Even John the Baptist, when he was going to be born, even from the womb, the prophecy was spoken concerning him. He shall be great. Shall go in the spirit of the Lord before the Lord. and so on and so forth. I mean, all these things are in the scriptures. Glory to God. Things were spoken about Jesus, excuse me, long before he was born. You know, he shall be called Counselor, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Isaiah 9 and 6. It shall be all these things. He shall be Governor. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it spoke all these things about him. And did you know that Jesus himself used the word of God to shape his own future? He was always talking about his own resurrection. You know, he would say things like, you know, let's take a look at, you know, some of them. Like John, let's look at John, you know, chapter 2. We look at some of the places where Jesus began to speak of things, you know, that would happen to him. Jesus said in John chapter 2 and verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And he's using the word of God to even say, I'm not going to stay in the grave. Hallelujah. Because, you know, thou would not let thy Holy One see corruption. Neither will you abandon him in the grave. He knew that. So now he's using the word of God himself and speaking into his own future. Glory to God. And there are many other scriptures where he spoke to his own future. And they say, well, it took us 46 years to build this temple. Are you going to raise it up in 3 days? They didn't know what he was talking about. You know, and Jesus left it there. He didn't explain to them that he was talking, not talking about that physical building they were looking at, but he was his own body. And he left it like that. There are many other places where we must use the word of God. We'll always say, one, what the word of God says. But more importantly, you know, use the word of God. We've taught that when we did the principles. Use the word of God to bring to pass. Remember, the Lord said they are created now, not even from the beginning. God, who calls things that are not as though they are. You can do the same. Don't leave it to chance. Call for the things that you want to be by the word of God. Hallelujah. As long as it is within the realm of what God has already promised, and you can call it for. Glory to God. Call it for. Don't leave it to chance. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, the Lord said some things about us, how we can use the word of God. Glory to God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Why did he say mouth? Why did he say heart? You know, just meditate upon it in your heart. No. You know, you meditate upon it quite all right. He said it in that same verse. But you must speak it out. Glory to God. When you speak it out, speak the word of God out, then it will make your way prosperous. And thou shalt have good success. Hallelujah. You speak the word of God to command success into your life. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. What does he say? He says that, look, when we are considering the power of God, don't think that Jesus is still in the grave. No, he's not there. And don't think that, oh, we got to go to heaven to bring in that. That's not necessary. You are representing. You know, but what do you do? What? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Hallelujah. So when you say it, God will honor it. Let's look at some promises. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. I'm not going to read it. Just going to leave it out there. But these are the things that you can command, you know, because you are obeying the voice of the Lord, right? So if you are obeying the voice of the Lord, here are all the promises that God said will happen to you if you diligently hearken to his voice. So then don't leave it to chance. Command all these things into your life. Hallelujah. You know, he says, blessed shall thou be in the city and blessed shall thou be in the field. Don't use it in the third sense. Use it for yourself. In the womb of the morning, I will be blessed in the city today. And I will be blessed in the field. And you begin to say all these things. My bread basket, my store will be blessed. When I go in and out today, I will be blessed. Hallelujah. And the Lord will cause my enemies that rise up against me today, they will come out one way, flee seven ways. I mean, just say all these things. The Lord has commanded a blessing upon my storehouses. So today, I command increase. Hallelujah. You begin to use these words. He said, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Well, you know it. So you speak it. You don't need to speak it as if, you know, the Lord is still going to do it. Now you begin to say it to come to pass. Hallelujah. Now this is what we don't understand yet. But there are many things, you know, that God wants us to develop ourselves. You know, when we develop ourselves, you know, there are things that we've been asking God to do for us. And you develop yourself, you do them for yourself in the name of the Lord. That's what, you know, now, that may sound strange to people because our culture and our thinking doesn't allow that. But we need to retrain our minds. Change your belief system. God doesn't want us constantly, you know, there are some things that he wants us to handle ourselves. He wants you to become like him. So you do those things for yourself. He wants us to become like him, like the Son of God. And we can do those things ourselves. Glory to God. You know, why constantly, I mean, why are you, you know, Moses was out there, you know, before the Red Sea crying to the Lord. Said, why are you crying to me? There's already something in your hand. Do something about the situation. Glory to God. Why are you crying to me? Why is everybody crying to me? I already given you this rod in your hand. Do something about the situation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes we're there crying to the Lord and so forth. I said, no, do something about that situation. Come on now. You know, you can do something about the situation. Jesus asked them, Andrew and the rest of them, said, look, you know, what are we going to do to these people? 5,000 of them and so forth. What are we going to do to them? God, he already knew what he was going to do, but he wanted them to step up and do something. Well, and they say, well, we don't know. I mean, look at these people, 5,000 or more. I mean, not even counting the women. What are we going to do? Even if we had 200 pence and go to the store to buy, there's not enough food that we can buy for these people. Jesus already, meanwhile, he knew what he was going to do, but he was waiting for them to step up. You know, so he said, okay, fine. What do you have? Now he's going to show them how to do it. What do you have? They said, well, you know, we looked around. There's one boy here that volunteered his lunch. But what is that among so many? And the Lord said, it is enough. Glory to God. I'm going to show you how to do it. You bring me in the little boy's lunch. And I noticed what Jesus did. When they brought him the little boy's lunch, he blessed the thing and gave it back to the disciples. Jesus didn't feed the crowd. Absolutely not. Jesus is showing them how to do it. Hallelujah. The Son of God needs to feed 5,000 people. No problem. I'm going to show you how you do it. You take whatever you have. What's in your hand? Take it. You bless it. And let it work for you. You know, and I, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you to think about this today. A miracle of multiplication of that little boy's lunch did not happen as we think, as culture has told us, you know, in the hands of Jesus. No, Jesus only blessed the thing and he gave it to the disciples. The miracle of multiplication happened in the hands of the disciples. It wasn't in the hands of Jesus. All that Jesus did was bless the thing and put it right back into their hands. Because it's no big miracle to just take, you know, two loaves and break it into 12 pieces. That's no miracle. Anybody can do that. I can do that. You can do that. You can take five loaves, cut it into 12. Anybody can do that. So that's no big miracle. There was no miracle in that. But he put a blessing on it, put it back in the hands of the disciples, and let them take care of business. Glory to God. Put the people out in companies, set them in 50s and so forth. Take care of business. You give it to them. Glory to God. God already put a blessing in your hands. Now you go do something with it. Hallelujah. You know, so don't wait for the Lord, sit around waiting for the Lord to do something. No. The Lord already put the blessing in your hand. You do something about the situation. Hallelujah. So that's what we are talking about today. And as Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the crew, as they were, they just had a little piece of the bread in his hand, each one of them, and, you know, maybe a few crumbs of the fish, you know, and they, you know, he went to the crowd, they set the crowd there, and he said, well, okay, here, you know, have a little bit. And they were discovering that as they were giving to the people, glory to God, the thing was increasing or did not diminish. You know, but that wasn't happening in the hands of Jesus. It wasn't. Jesus just put a blessing and moved on, and he's done. Jesus already put that blessing in your hands, and he's done. It's now yours. Now you command the womb of the morning. Now you command your day. Now you use your word to shape your future. It's not up to you. It's not up to him anymore. He's done his part, and it's in your hands now. What are you going to do with it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, so this year, the Lord told us two things at our church. How we will emerge even in the natural realm and emerge in the spiritual realm. And I've been talking a lot about the spiritual realm. I'm talking about the natural realm today. Hallelujah. How you, God has put these things. Glory to God. He has blessed every work of your hand already. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 9. The Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of your hand. Hallelujah. In the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for thy good. And the Lord will rejoice again over you for good. Hallelujah. The Lord's already put it there. Now you take this word and use it to shape your day, your life, and your future. Don't leave anything to chance. Don't say ko sera sera. Get rid of that song. You put the word out there and let these things come according to the word of the Lord. Isaiah 54. The first four verses will tell us again how we must expand, how we must emerge, you know. Glory to God. Even in this year, these are the things, but you must, you can't just sit back and let things happen as though, you know, whatever will happen. No, we're not going to do that. If you are barren, he says, sing. Glory to God. You know, break forth into singing, do something, you know, because God's going to do great things this year. Hallelujah. You know, if the place where you're living is too small, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not, let in your courts, do all these things. You know, you are the one that's going to do it, not God. God didn't say, I'm going to enlarge the place of your tent. Or I'm going to stretch forth your curtains of your habitation. Say, you do it. Lengthen your courts, strengthen your stakes. Because why? You will break forth on the left and on the right and so forth. Inherit the blessings, you know, of the Gentiles. Well, the Gentiles already know how to get these blessings. We talked about that already, you know, but you know, many times we don't know how to do it, you know, so it's time for us to get into the blessings of God. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither wilt thou be confounded, and you shall not be put to shame. Glory to God. You now use the word of God to say these things. In the morning, say hallelujah. Say today, my goodness, I'm going to break forth on the land. Break forth with no limits. I'm going to break forth. I'm going to break forth on the left. I'm going to break forth on the right. I'm going to look ahead of me. Everything I see, I get by faith. That's what God told Abraham. Look to the left, east, west, right, north, south, everything. For the land that you see, as far as you can see, Genesis 13, verses 13 and 14. As far as you can see, will I give it to you. Glory to God. So, what does this all mean for us? Today, it means that we use the word of God to shape our future. Listen to verse 11 of this same verse, Isaiah 54. Oh, thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest and not comforted, Well, is that you this morning? Are you afflicted? Turn to the word of God. Glory to God. Why? Because the earlier verse, verse 10 says, look, the mountains may depart, the hills may be removed, but my covenants, my kindness shall never depart from you. The covenant of peace that I put upon you, the Lord put his smack down upon you. I will have mercy upon you. Glory to God. So now, we exercise ourselves in these promises of God. But not passively. We have to do it actively. We're not just going to take a back seat and wish and hope that these things will come to pass. No. I will make thy windows of a gate and thy gates of carbuncles. And all thy borders shall be of pleasant stones. And all thy children, whew, glory to God, shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. Well, you take the word of God today and speak to the voice of Pharaoh that's trying to bring oppression and heavy burdens upon your life and say, no, not today, not any day. Enough of that already. I will be far from oppression. Glory to God and from terror, but he's not coming near me. Today, in a womb of the morning such as this, I command my day. Glory to God. There's a song we used to sing, say, you know, I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my feet. I command everything. Well, command your day as well to bring forth goodness. Use the word to shape how your day is going to be. Use the word to shape, you know, it can be immediate future, can be intermediate future, it can be distant future. The God's word covers it all. Hallelujah. And all these things, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against. Now, the devil is, he didn't say shall not form the weapons. He will form, but he will not prosper. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Job chapter 5 verse 12 said the Lord will disappoint them. Disappoint and weaken their devices. The Lord will frustrate the tokens of the liar so that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise. They will surely gather together. So today, you start the day and say, hallelujah. You know, I read something as a young man, mirror, mirror on the wall, you know, who's greatest of them all? Well, you know, you can go and stand in front of the mirror and say, whoo-hoo, mirror, mirror on the wall. I see the goodness of the Lord in my life today. Hallelujah. I see myself. I'm looking good. Hallelujah. Because the glory of the Lord is upon me. I'm arising out of obscurity. And I'm going to shine today. Because his word has said, arise and shine. Shake yourself from the dust. Lord's not going to be the one to shake you. You got to shake yourself from the dust. Lose yourself from the bands around the neck. You know, God has put in these things in your hands. Use the word of God yourself. Glory to God. I said I was going to read Psalm 115. Let me read it to you now before we, as we begin to wrap this up. Then we are going to go into a session of powerful prayers. Glory to God. Now, Psalm 115. Let us read some things that the psalmist said here in verses 13 to 15. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 115. Say, ye that fear the Lord. I'm starting it at verse 11. Trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Well, you know, the Lord is your help. The Lord is your shield. You can say that about yourself today. He is my shield. I'm living in him. He's living in me. No evil can come near me. The Lord will be mindful of me today. He's going to bless me. Well, he has already blessed you. All of these things, some of them are, you know, not quite accurate, you know, because, you know, the Lord has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this is not quite accurate that he will bless us. He's already blessed us. Hallelujah. Now you need to now command that blessing into place. Glory to God. Ye are already blessed of the Lord. You know, he said, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Hallelujah. Now, if you are not seeing increase in your life, or you're not seeing increase in the life of your children, you latch onto this word. You get up in the morning, glory to God, and you command the increase in your life. You command the increase in your children. That's how you do it. Praise the Lord. And you begin to say, look, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. You know, but the earth he has given to us. But we are seated in heavenly places. We're in two dimensions at once. We got to understand the ordinances of heaven in order to command their influence and their dominion upon the earth. Hallelujah. And then we must use the word to shape the situation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's read Isaiah 55 as I begin to wrap this up. Isaiah 55. Let's read about 3 or 4 verses out of that place. Powerful stuff here in Isaiah. You know, talk about the word of God. How you can use it. Isaiah 55. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, verse 9, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and we've read this multiple times. Well, let's apply it to this lesson this morning. The rain comes down from heaven, or the snow, but it doesn't return there. And it has a purpose that it must accomplish. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Well, that was his mouth. Now, I'm talking about it from your mouth. Because now we represent. Hallelujah. It shall not return unto me void. Now you can say it too. In the morning, say, look, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to speak the word of God to the day. And I speak it in the name of the Lord. I command the day to listen. Hallelujah. This word shall not return void. You speak it in the name of the Lord. Don't wait for the Lord to speak it. God's already done. He said, put it in your hands already. Now you speak it. It'll accomplish what I speak. Going to come to pass, not going to drop to the ground. Hallelujah. Here's a marvelous promise in verse 12. For you shall go out with joy. Today, start your day. Say, I'm going out with joy. Hallelujah. I'm going to be led forth with peace. The mountains, woo, and the hills shall break forth before me into singing. And all the trees of God has lined up people to celebrate my success. Hallelujah. They're going to clap your hands. Clap their hands for me. Hallelujah. But you begin to, don't leave this to chance. You begin to use the word of God to speak it into your future. Glory to God. You say, well, instead of the thorn that's going to come forth a pleasant tree, instead of, you know, rubbish that's going to come forth goodness. Now, any rubbish that the enemy planned for me today, I turn it around to goodness. Surely, goodness and mercy shall fall. I'm going throughout the day. I'm looking over my shoulder. My left shoulder, I'm seeing goodness is there. I'm looking over my right shoulder, I'm seeing mercy is there. I'm going through this day, mercy and goodness with me all the way. Glory to God. Psalm 90 and verses 16 and 17. Now, some of these things may seem like they are promises or futuristic, but, you know, they are there for us to enforce and exert it in to our lives. You know, don't think of any of these things anymore as futuristic or something that the Lord is yet to do. He's already done it. Glory to God. He says, let thy work appear unto thy saints and thy glory unto their children. It's happening now. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Well, in the morning, you can say, let the beauty of the Lord thy my God be upon me today. And let the work of my hands be established. Establish thou it. Yea, establish it upon us. That's what he said. So you use these promises and you begin to shape the day, shape the life, shape the future, leave nothing to chance. Now we're going to go into a prayer session. Glory to God. I invite you, we're going to do an old-fashioned prayer session right now. I invite you to come to the stage. Don't be left out. Glory to God. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm only going to be giving you what to declare. You are going to declare it for yourself. Not even God's going to do it for you today. You're going to do it for yourself. God wants you to be like him. so that you can do the things that you have been asking him forever to do. Now, that may seem, you know, way out there, but that's the truth. That's exactly it. Represent and have dominion. You know, when you come into his image and his likeness, you be like him, you represent. Where you are, he doesn't need to be. That's what represent means. We covered that yesterday. You are already there. God doesn't need to be there. Say, well, this man's got this. You know, now I can relax. Adam, what do you say? You know, what's this going to be? You got this. Hallelujah. Now you have got this morning. You got this. Glory to God. You got this day. Don't let this day bamboozle you. Don't let the devil play ping pong with your life. No. You take charge in the name of the Lord. Because this day was created for us. We were not created for the day. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your people here this morning. Glory to God. I pray, even right now, that the people have engaged you in the spirit. Now, to show and to prove that you have engaged God in the spirit, well, let's do this together. Let's come and declare some things today. Now, you mark this day. Glory to God. Because occasionally, I mean, we don't do these kind of declarations every day, but occasionally when we do, it is what it is. I'm going to declare some things this morning. I'm just going to walk away. That's it. Put it out there. Done. Don't worry about it. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. When you declare it and you don't doubt it, but you believe that those things that you said shall be, then they shall be. But don't leave it to chance for it to be. You use the word to bring it to pass. He said they are created now, not from the beginning. God command the things that are not as though they are. You know, there's no ko sera sera about it. It wasn't going to be, but now it is going to be. Hallelujah. God is now going to call those things that are not as though they are. And how is he going to do it? He's going to do it with your mouth. Hallelujah. God quickeneth the dead. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Mark that down as well. And he calleth those things that are not as though they are. So we're going to use these scriptures to pray this morning. And remember my favorite verse, Psalm 103 and verse 20. Well, one of my favorite verses on this subject. The angels that excel in strength, they are on standby, waiting for you to speak the word. Because, you know, when you speak that word, when you give voice to his word, they go into action. They carry it out. Hallelujah. Now, you cannot command angels. Nobody can do that. They've got their own marching orders. But you can speak that word, and they will obey that word and go into operation. It is the word of God that they hearken to. They do his commandments. When you speak the word of God, angels go into operation. So let's do it. Join me this morning and let's command the womb of the morning. If you're already in the day, that's okay too. You know, let's command our day. Let's command our life. Let's not leave anything. You may have done this before. You do it again. Every morning. I'm teaching here this morning that every morning you do this. It's not a one-time thing. You say, well, I did it last month. Well, I did it last week. Well, I did it when I was in a 21-day prayer. Well, do it again. Glory to God. Multiple times Jesus said to the people, he destroyed his body, and in 3 days he encouraged himself with the word of God. He knew he's coming out of that grave. So you do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the hour of prayer is here. Glory to God. And if you want to join us in this prayer, I want you to come to this stage and declare for yourself.